Don't know what to say when making calls? Most people struggle because they just don't know what to talk about. In today's episode, Paula shares exactly what to say to build rapport and to start conversations. In this episode, I'm going to cover the best questions to ask to build rapport when you're meeting a new realtor. She shares three different openings you can use when you're calling your past clients. And one of them I've never heard of before. And also a very clever trick for increasing the number of debt consolidation loans. And it's actually, so it's really smart. You're going to love it. Paula Nerschel, she's a head coach for Guild Mortgage Elevate Program. She's a Scotsman Guide Rank loan officer based out of Vancouver, Washington, not BC. And one of her supervisors is making cold calls. And so she got good at cold calls because she was a coach, head coach for a basketball team. And she had to recruit players, and dealing with that rejections made her really good at it in the mortgage business. We've been doing this for a long time. And so we get really into the weeds on this. I think you're going to enjoy this conversation I have with her because I get very, what do you do when they say this? And when you, I pretended to be the client, and it was a really fun conversation. I'm your host, Scott Peckford. This is the Island Mortgage Brokering Podcast, the number one podcast for mortgage brokers and loan officers to learn how to grow their mortgage business. And before we jump into this episode, I want to give a shout out to our title sponsor, Finmo. Finmo is a Canadian mortgage application, document collection, submission platform designed specifically for Canadian borrowers. It's very easy for borrowers to use, and it's got some cool features built in, like smart docs. It knows what documents your client needs based on how they fill out the app. It's got smart submission notes. It pulls key data from the app when you're hitting submit. And it's connected to Lender Spotlight, which is the number one tool for searching rates and guidelines. Check them out at lenddesk.com/Finmo and check out this conversation with Paula. Hey, Paula, welcome to the show.
Hey, Scott. Thank you for having me.
Hey, so tell me a little bit about yourself and how you got in the mortgage business.
So prior to me getting in the mortgage business, I was a college basketball coach for 10 years. And I decided to leave. I finished at a Division I school in California, Cal State Northridge. And so I was coming back up to Portland, and I had a friend. And I thought I was going to go work for Nike and be in sales.
Because they're based out of Portland, aren't they? Or they were,
they're based
anyway.
Out of Portland. And I had a lot of friends there. And then I had another friend who said, why don't you do what I do? And I said, well, what do? And she said, well, I sell money. And she was not.
You're like, please,
she was
actually, tell me more.
Yeah. She goes, I sell money. I'm like, okay, well, how are you going to sell me? But what I knew is she said she'd mentor me. And in my coaching career, I became a head coach like 2 years into my career. And I was very young, didn't have a lot of mentorship, and would go around the country and listen to top coaches speak. So I knew the value of what she was offering me. And so I went in and I interviewed, literally a 10-minute interview, was hired, and went to mortgage market and started my career.
Right. That's awesome. A lot of people who have a background in sports tend to have seems to me like bartenders and people with a background in sport, bartenders because they're good with people and, rapport building, and then people with sports because they understand discipline and focus and goal setting. So what was for you the biggest number one takeaway that you took from your college basketball coaching career that you've applied to this day in your mortgage business?
No fear of cold calling, because I had to recruit, and the first program I was in was in a program at a community college, and it was terrible. It was horrible. Had a losing record for almost 20 years. And so,
and you have to recruit for them.
Yeah, I have to recruit for them. I got to sell it, you know? And so I was cold calling parents and kids and all of that. And then as I went on, I went to an NAI school and a Division I school. But still, there's a lot of cold calling. There's a lot of relationship building. And that part, I didn't have a problem with. So that really helped me.
But did you never have a problem with it? Or did you just learn how to do it calling parents and kids, and then you just applied it to your mortgage business?
Yeah. I mean, in the beginning, when I first started coaching, it was hard. It was hard to cold call. But repetition over and over again. And when you're trying to build a program, I mean, it's like you don't have a choice. And I mean, I think in lending as well, as you're building your business, you don't have a choice. You've got to pick up the phone. You've got to call agents. You've got to call title people. You've got to call different business resources. And if you don't, because you're fearful, you're not going to last very long.
Right. Okay. So, and what was the, I'm just curious, what was the inner dialogue, or when did it flip the switch for you on making these cold calls for your coaching program Because I will relate it to your mortgage business, but I'm curious, like, was there a point where you're like, because people, that's still, it'd still be struggle for most people, because it would be like, I could get rejected. What if they're like, I don't want to talk, especially you're selling a school that's like, I've never heard of this school. Why should I come here? You know, like, tell me about that. Like, how long did it take for that to become more comfortable?
More comfortable. I mean, I think it took me a couple years while I was coaching to start really feeling comfortable. But, you know, fear does a couple things. Fear either paralyzes you or it kicks you in the butt. And for me, that's what fear has always done. Like, I'm more fearful of not making the calls than having to make the calls. And so it's switching that mindset. You know, it's like, hey, I don't want to lose this year, or, you know, my job's on the line. We got to win. I've got to call kids. I've got to get kids here. Which translates the same thing with your business. So my mentor, Lori, said to me, you can't leave on Friday until you have 3 face-to-face appointments the next week. And that's how I built my business. I was in a town in Vancouver. I didn't know anybody. I wasn't from here. I didn't have any contacts. And so I had to pick up the phone and call agents and call title people and builders. And I had to have my 3 appointments.
So did you ever like have to do that late? Was there ever a point you remember you're like, man, you're calling later in the day, or like, what happened there?
Oh yeah. Like, you mean like it's Friday at 3 o'clock and I don't have my appointments.
You're like, oh my gosh, I've only got 2 meetings booked. I need another one.
Yep. Yes, I did. I procrastinated sometimes for sure and had to do that. But I always, like, when people said, Paula, how did you build your business? I said, it was 3 face-to-face appointments a week. And, you know, then you go on in your career and you're hearing people say, no, you've got to have 10 and you've got to call 40 people and you've got to do all these things. But I literally in the beginning just saw 3 people face to face and worked that.
Right. I have a couple of questions. So if 3 a week, when did you realize, okay, this is working for me? Like, was it a year or 2 years before it actually, because some people, you're right, someone else would make 40 calls a week. Well, like, maybe, but can you sustain it? You know, everybody can.
It happened pretty quickly with me, but I think, again, it's because I had 10 years of learning about building relationships and learning that I'm here to help you as well, right? And I'm not just calling you to say, hey, do you have any deals? I want to meet with you. I want to do, you know, it's like, what can I do to help you as well? And I was just really comfortable by then. I mean, it was 10 years of recruiting in college that I didn't have an issue building, like, getting into that face-to-face appointment and getting on common ground and asking and being curious, asking about their business and getting deeper with them and listening. So, I mean, if I hadn't had the experience of coaching, it probably would have taken longer.
Right. So you applied that. So if I was working for you now as a mortgage loan officer and I'm saying, you know, Paula, I'm nervous to make phone calls. How would you coach me? What would you say to me? I know you're a coach. We're going to talk about some of the cool things you do at Guild in a couple of minutes. But so if I was one of your students and I'm like, oh, I don't know, like, I'm really struggling with this. What would you want? Pretend I'm not. I just want to experience how you do that.
I would start asking you questions. What are you fearful of? What is the worst thing that's going to happen when you make this phone call?
So I'm afraid that they're going to hang up on me. They're going to say, you know, tell me to F off or something. Like, so maybe that's like, so what would you say then if I said that?
I'd say, okay, you're right. They may, that could be the worst thing that happened, but let's talk about what could be great things that could happen from this phone call. Could you possibly get a lead, a deal, an appointment? This is what you're going to miss out on if you don't. So how about let's practice? Let's work on that together, because you got to get comfortable, right? And I think practicing with somebody, or would you like to listen to a few of my calls so you can write down some questions that I'm asking?
Right. That's good. So if that's something you obviously do then for these people that you're coaching, you'll be like, hey, you want to listen to some of my calls? And I like that too. You just ask, what am I afraid of? Like, you just literally head on instead of. And do you ever get people that try to avoid answering the question? I'm not really afraid. What if they say, this is an objection I've heard. I don't feel like I know everything yet. So they have this thing in their head that they think they need to learn more before they start actually prospecting. But it's like, you can't learn to drive a car by reading about it. You got to get in the car. So like, How would you coach me through that?
I would say it was the same thing when I was coaching. Like my first year of coaching, I hadn't been a coach yet. You know, I knew how to, I could shoot a basket. You know, I could, I knew how to run plays. I knew how to play the game, but it's different to teach, right? But you still have to get people in the boat first, right? You still got to get the appointments. And I, you know, what I would say to you is you don't know, you don't have to know everything. Because the beginning of everything is about building a relationship. It's not about knowing everything. And your first meeting, you shouldn't be talking very much anyway. You should be asking questions and learning about the person that you want to do business with. And trust me, they will love to talk.
Right. Okay. So what are, if what are some of the best questions that you have found for rapport building? Let's say if you're, if I drop you down in a new city, I'm sure you got a very established business. I'm right to pick you up and I drop you down in a new city and I'm like, Paula, you got to rebuild your mortgage business and you're going to be meeting with real estate agents. What kind of questions do you find are really helpful for really, you know, building a good connection and being, I'm curious what you'd ask.
You know, things that I ask are, you know, tell me about your business. How long have you been in the business? You know, and they start talking about their background. You know, I'll ask them, what do you really love about what you do? You know, what do you enjoy? And then I might ask them, you know, I just get curious, like by things that they're telling me, you know, what are things you don't like about your job? You know, and it just gets into some conversations where we both can talk back and forth about things that we have in common, you know, or maybe things I can help them with, you know, or what is your goal for your business? Like, what do you want to do this year? You know, and why? Like after they tell you, why is that important? You know, because they'll, then they'll talk about financial goals or trips they want to take or, and it just allows you to learn more about them and what drives them.
I like that question. So can you think of an example of when you, somebody said they had a goal and they shared a why with you that you were, you know, surprised or it was like, huh, and like, cause it's another level, like you're definitely going to level deeper with relationships. So can you think of any examples of a why that you were, you know, surprised by or impressed with?
Yeah. I mean, I think, financial for me, you know, when people are really understand, like, you know what, Paula, I've worked my whole entire life. My parents didn't get to retire. And I am really focused on growing this business and saving this amount of money because I want to retire someday. And that, and it's not just, I just want to retire. Like they know a number, they've got a goal, they've thought it through, right? Or, you know, they've got kids that they want to get through college. You know, or they've got this fantastic trip that they dreamed of taking, you know, but they're very specific, right? Because that's what we need to be, because that's what drives us, right? If you don't have goals, it's like, why get up today and make calls, right? What is your why? You know, having a strong why is, I think, is the most important in when you're driving your business.
Right. So how is there any, so let's say if you knew that about me, let's say if I said to you, there's a, I want to go to Machu Picchu and hike, you know, this place in is Peru, Japan, I don't know. Anyway, mm-hmm. I do want to go there, but I can't remember where it is. So if I said that to you and you knew this was something that was important to me, is it something that you come, is there a way that you like weave that into when we're talking, or is it just sort of like you keep in the back of your mind? Like, is there anything that you, any way that
I would, if you told me that this great place, I would be so, I would be really curious of why, like, what is it about this place? You know, did you, have you researched it?
Is not it, well enough apparently, because I don't know what, country
it's in. Like, I don't even remember the name.
But no, Machu Picchu is where it is. It's just like abandoned city in the middle of like on the top of a mountain. And I just like, how do they get water there? How do they get food there? Like, I'm just like, you know, all these things that I just, and you got to hike to get in there. And that's what all that like appeals to me. So that's why I like it.
But it kind of tells me a little bit about you, about maybe the types of things you're interested in. Right.
Right.
So
I mean, can see that. So really the magic question is why? Like is because that's when you're uncovering motivation, you're uncovering, you know, personal preferences and all of that stuff. So I think it seems like that is a great rapport building question. And then just be genuinely curious.
Mm-hmm. The word is curious. We talk about that all the time. Like a lot of times when people are listening to somebody, their mind is going, right? And they're trying to figure out the next thing to say instead of taking a breath and going, okay, what do I want to ask next? That's really interesting. I'd like to know more about this, you know, or it could be about their family. It could be about, you know, the types of business they're doing, or how did they get into this business? Why does this interest them? But if you're always seeking out the next question, then you get deeper with somebody. And people, you know, people feel like you care about them when right. you're asking questions and wanting to yeah. really get to know them.
Okay, that's really good. What if you did like a, and so you, one of the things you do at Guild, you got this unique coaching, kind of internal coaching program. And so like, where did the idea for that come from? You're one of the head coaches, right, of that program?
Yeah, so I run it now. I'm the VP of the whole program. It began with a vision from Barry Horn, who was mm-hmm. the head of our sales. And he said, you know, he wanted to be the most coached company in the industry, mortgage company. And at the time, Shayla Gifford, who's in our company, she's on, she does a lot of things online. She was, the, she started.
I've heard of her before.
Yeah, Shayla Gifford, yeah. a lot of people have. She's mm-hmm. great. And so she started it. And then after a couple years, Barry had decided, you know, hey, we need to have a manager kind of program, Lift. And she had gotten out of production and was really doing some other things, managing and growing her area. And so they asked her to move into Lift and lead that. And then they asked me to move in because I was still producing. I think the key is, you know, a lot of coaching programs are like people that have been in the industry, you know, but they haven't been doing loans, you know, for a while. And it's one thing to say, well, when I was in it, I did it this way. But so many things have dramatically changed, you know, with technology and the consumer, right? And so being, that's what's kind of unique is being on the ground. I do loans. You know, when we talk about things that we're coaching, it's all the head coaches, all the coaches, we're all on the ground doing loans. So we absolutely have empathy towards what's going on in the industry. We understand what's going on, but we also know that we have, what are the things that we need to do to help our group, you know, adopt and learn how to leverage their technology. Yeah,
that makes sense. Cause I can think back to when I was doing mortgages, some of the mortgages I did back in the day, they'd all be illegal. Now you were like, you can't do that anymore. You're right. It does change. Like, and so then, and the way you communicate it changes and the way its competitiveness changes and stuff. So basically producing coaches that are running this program, right?
Correct. And we're also getting them. So they're able to, we're going through a company called Rewire with Steve Scanlon, and we're getting mm-hmm. them certified to be coaches as well.
Right. Yeah, that's fantastic. And so if you guys tracked sort of the production of the people who, because it's an opt-in thing, it's not like, mm-hmm. it's not, everybody doesn't have to do it, but have you guys tracked sort of performance or any metrics on the folks that have done that versus haven't done it?
Yeah, last year we looked at our whole company, and at the 50 percentile of the industry, so outside of Guild, last year being a difficult year, the average at the 50 percentile was 9 loans for the year. And we did 100% more. We did 18. And as we moved up to 25% and 10%, it went to, I think, 50% at the next level. And then I think we did 20% more at the top level. So it's not just in Elevate Coaching. We also run an all access coaching call once a month, and it's for the field. And then some of our coaches, we do some boot camps. So we'll do some Salesforce boot camps that are opened up to the field. We just did one in March for 3 days, and we had close to 300 people on those calls.
Right. Oh, because those boot camps aren't live. They're like a virtual boot camp.
No, they're live. So we do them live.
But you're not meeting in a big build, like a...
Right. We're meeting online. So we've been doing that to help anyone in the field, you know, start implementing some of our tools. This June, we're actually doing our first live event for a day and a half in Vegas. And it's going to be our coaches coming in, and we're going to be training and implementing and teaching for a day and a half. And that's opened up, and that was open to all of Guild. And there's a cost to it, and they're paying to come and participate and learn.
Right. That's fantastic. One of the things you'd said before, I don't know if it was before we turned the recorder, you talked about how you are, you basically coach your referral partners as well. Like, you teach or coach them, you help them. So can you give me some examples of like how you do that? So if I'm a real estate agent and you're building a relationship with me, like, what does that look like for you to become? So I think of you as not only my loan originator, but also a resource beyond that. What kind of stuff do you do there?
We do. So Kelly Scott, my business partner, and I will do smaller class sessions where we'll bring in like 7 to 10 agents and we'll coach on different things like HomeBot, or we'll coach on prospecting, or we'll coach on different communication. We'll do that. And then I'll do individual things like even just helping agents financially, we helped one agent who really didn't have any savings. And now she's got 3 rental properties. She's got her SEP going, just helping people understand things, business, how do I run a business? How do I sustain it? I think the biggest thing for all salespeople that we help a lot of people with is just prospecting, right? Instead of saying I'm a loan officer or I'm a realtor or I'm a, insurance agent. I'm really a prospector that sells mortgages. I'm a prospector that sells real estate. And sometimes they don't understand that is the most important part of their job. I'll call one of my realtors and just say, okay, how many calls did you make today? Oh, I'm going to, Paula, I'm going to make those calls. Okay, you committed. Let's go make those calls today. So sometimes it's just a little accountability partner.
The little accountability side of it. That makes a lot of sense. And then, so where else would if you look at your business, where does your business come from? So your own personal production, where's the split of it? Like, is realtors, past clients? Like, I'm curious.
Yeah. A lot of it comes from real estate agents, but what I'm really building and growing right now is from my past client, my database, really leveraging my database. And so, really working hard every single day, calling on, because we service, we get a bunch of different types of triggers that come in, and it's only on our database. So working through some of the triggers that come on and being consistent every single day, I try to call for an hour. And my goal is to get a lead or to get a loan. And what I'm finding is by doing that, I'm also able to give more leads to real estate agents. And I think with technology, anyone can get to the consumer first. So that's a huge focus for my business.
So you're out there finding river opportunities, like people before they've even chosen their real estate agent or they haven't committed, and then you end up referring those to that person. And okay, that makes a lot of sense. You said something as well I thought was interesting, is that you guys coach on your unique tech stack. So talk me through that. So it sounds like Guild, you guys have built some pretty extensive technology that your agents can use. But then, of course, like any technology, if you don't use it, then it's like this amazing thing. And you're like, so talk to me about how you guys have like figured that part out.
Yeah. Adoption is the key, right? And lots of mortgage companies are spending tons of money on tech. Our biggest tech piece that we've built out over the last 5 or 6 years was Salesforce. And with Salesforce, it is our database, but it's also a place where it's integrated with our servicing portfolio. So that's where triggers come in. Or like if we put leads in and let's say they're not credit ready, or they want to wait to purchase, right? So what do we usually do? What do people do? They have a piece of paper, they have a legal pad, they're writing their leads down. Oh, this person has credit problems, and you coach them through that. But how often do you stay in front of them and stay in touch with them? So when I first got in the business, we would do that and people would say, okay, Paula, when I get there, I'm going to call you. And a lot of them would, right?
But not all of them.
But today with all the competition and the internet and right now lenders are pouncing on all our clients, sending them emails and calls and all of that. It's really our job. We got to stay in front of them. And so one great thing about our Salesforce, when someone's waiting to buy or they've got some credit challenges, they get put in an automated email campaign that's for that topic, that subject. And once they get to the end of that, we are automatically tasked to call them, to check in with them. So the automation of all of that, staying in touch with them and being tasked to call them, is what helps us, you know, get those clients. And it's like, these are clients that sometimes are people that we can give to agents. But most people don't stay in touch with those people. Right.
So that you miss out on that opportunity. And then you talk about the servicing portfolio. So you guys are servicing these loans. So if somebody's reaching out about a payout or something, or they're looking at a refinance, will that trigger back to the loan officer, or what happens in that scenario? And
what's very unique about Guild is they believe that the loan officer is the one to convert the highest, you know, so they always send those back. The other thing what servicing is doing right now too is, you know, think about your escrow account. How many times will you get a call? Hey, Paula, I thought my payment wasn't going to go up, but their taxes go up, right? And they have a shortage in their escrow account. Well, we have a little section in our Salesforce that gives us a list when that's about to happen, like a month before, so that we can proactively call our clients and let them know, give them their options. I don't know, in Canada, if you guys have been doing 2-1 buy downs, you know, for your clients. Well, we do that. So we get notified. So after a year, like 6 weeks before their payment's going to adjust, we get notified and we can make that proactive call. And when you, that's the biggest problem with calling our past clients. People will say, if you say to them, real estate agents or lenders, why aren't you doing it? And people will say, well, gosh, it's been so long and I don't know what to say. I don't know how to start the conversation. Well, we have so many ways to start the conversation with different things that servicing is
They're basically like conversation starters, but they're because you're leading with value and you know, solving a problem or catching a problem before they get to it. And then that starts the conversation. So you, like you said, you can just look at your list and be like, here's what I need to phone today. I got somebody who just finished their credit, you know, repair thing. I got somebody whose escrow account's going to be short. And then whatever other stuff that pops up with these resets. Yeah, I didn't realize on the 2-1 buy downs that they actually was only a 1 year. I thought it was like, it's not for the entire term of the mortgage. It's just the first year gets a discounted payment.
Well, two years get a discount. So the first year gets 2% discount and then it goes to 1 year. But it notifies us. But it's not even like, now I have an opportunity to talk to this person again, see what's going on, see if they have anybody they know that needs help with a mortgage, right? It gives you that, it opens the door for you. And it's a good conversation. I was talking to, we had a Zillow pre-mover lead that came in and I called the client and I said, you know, hey, I'm just checking in, you know, how are things going? Are you still in love with your home? And, you know, the answer here is always, gosh, Paula, yes, I have the greatest rate. Thank you so much. Da, 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 da. You know, so I kept digging a little deeper and he said, he goes, well, to be honest with you, Paula, my wife wants to move. I go, really? Why does she want to move? And he said, well, because my kids, she wants them in a different school district. And I go, I can understand that's important. I go, so what's holding you back? And he goes, he didn't say rate. He said, you know, I just really don't know what my house is worth. And I said, well, if I could, how would you like if I call a real estate agent and have them do a CMA for you and get in contact with you? Would that help you with that conversation? And he goes, will you? Would you do that? Right. I'm like, sure.
Yeah, of course. You know yes. I mean? No, this is a
so, yeah, of totally. Course I'd do that, you know? So again, without having that conversation, that gave me, opened the door for me to get a lead to a real estate agent.
Right. I like that question. Are you still in love with your home? That's a, because that mm-hmm. is a very, who knows? Is what that's a, I highlighted that. So give me, is there any other questions that you ask that you find are great conversation starters, whether it's clients
or agents? A lot of people are in debt right now, right? Mm-hmm. Because credit cards are out of control and rates are high. People can't pay those down. And so we have, I use product to open up sometimes too. So we have a fixed HELOAN. So I might call somebody and say, hey, I'm just checking in. We've got a new product called our HELOAN that we're helping a lot of families with debt consolidation. Would you be interested in hearing about this product? And a lot of times
you're teasing them because you're not explaining what it is really, if they don't know. And so, you know, it's a new product called X and people are using it for Y and, you know, consolidating debt. Would you be interested in? And I want to know more. Like, you just said, I'm like, well, yeah, maybe. Like, tell me more about it. And so now the conversation. So that's really good. That's really good.
And the other thing to do too with people that have a lot of credit cards is, here's what I make them do. I say, okay, here's what I want you to do. Here's your homework. I want you to email me. I want you to make a list of all your credit cards with the balances, the rates, and the minimum payments. Because when they see those rates, right? Because if they ask you, what's the HELOAN? How much is the HELOAN? You know, or what are the rates like? Well, they could be anywhere from 8.5 to 11.5, right? Sometimes that shuts someone down. They're like, God, that's so high, right? But they don't realize they're paying 28 to 32% on their credit cards. So when they have to go through that exercise and then I do my evaluation and call them back, they're so understanding and not thinking that the 8.5 to 11 is very high anymore. But when they initially hear that, they compare that to their current rate, you know, and they think it's high.
Right. But what you've done is just created awareness for them. Because again, even if they saw it on their credit, you could go get that off their credit bureau and you'd be able to come back to them and say, here's your payments. And then be like, yeah, I don't know, 11% sounds high, because they actually haven't internalized what they're actually paying. But writing it down is like, holy crap, it's 29.9% or whatever. And then that's a brilliant idea. Even though you're getting them to do a step that you don't technically need them to do, just so that they learn or get the awareness of the problem that they have.
Plus it gets commitment, right?
Yes, commitment to,
like, yeah, are they exactly really serious about doing this? You know, and I can't, you know, a lot of them. I mean, I had one person, gentleman, send me, ended up being $200,000 of debt. And actually refinancing the whole loan was the best option for him, right? But he would have never thought that in the beginning of touching his low interest rate loan. But he got like a 6.875 refinance, and it saved him $3,500 cash flow a month.
Right. That's crazy.
I mean, without seeing the whole picture, right? You can't decide what's the best thing you can do for them.
So if I was that client and you reaching out to me about this product idea, and I said, yeah, that makes sense. So like, what is the follow-up sequence after that? Do you set a reminder to check in with me? Do you get a commitment that I'm going to send it by a certain time? I'm getting very technical, but I like to do that. I like to get into the weeds a little bit of, like, you know,
sure.
What would be the next step? If I agreed to that, yeah, okay, I'll do that, Paula. What do you do next to make sure that I don't fall off, you know, drop off the cliff?
Right. So in my Salesforce, I have you up, right? And I'm taking a couple notes, mm-hmm. you know, and it just says, Scott's going to send me an email with X, right?
Yeah.
And then what I do is I task myself. So there's a task button. I say, I usually, like, in that situation, I'm going to give you a week.
Right.
Because it might take a little time to go get all that information. And when people are in debt psychologically, right, it's like they're just...
They don't want to look at it. They're head in the sand. They don't want to look at it.
Yeah. So in that case, I'm going to give them a week. If it was just a general application for a purchase, I'm going to task myself 48 hours to check in to see if the application's in. And what's been a great benefit of that is, sometimes, I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but, you know, the application doesn't come in. Maybe you're talking to your team. You're like, hey, what happened to the Smiths? You know, I thought they were going to turn that in. And they're like, no, we never received it. So you go to call them and you find out you wrote their email incorrectly. So if you follow up in 48 hours and you find that out, oh gosh, Paul, I never got your email. Hey, well, let's check. Let's see what, oh shoot, I forgot the number. Like, maybe it's Smith 21 and I put Smith 2. So by changing that quickly and then sending that application back out, you don't lose your client.
Right. Okay. That makes a lot of sense. What if both on that? Okay. Back to that product that you talked about. So this sounds interesting. If I start asking about rates, will you quote rates to me on that call, or will you usually want me to, like, do the awareness thing first?
I'll try to say this to you. I'll say, hey, Scott, it's going to be dependent on your credit score and your loan to value. And so until we see the full picture, you know, I hate just to quote out a rate. Now, if you really push me, then I'm going to say, okay, well, it ranges from X to X. Okay. Do you know? And then I'm going to follow up with a question. Do you know what your rates are on your credit cards right now?
Right.
And you might say,
so you're putting it back on me. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, okay.
And then I'm going to say, well, I'm going to educate you. I'm going to say, you know, every time the Fed raised the Fed funds rate, that increased your rate on your credit card. And so chances are right now, your rates on your credit cards are anywhere from 28 to 32%. Oh my gosh, really, Paula? Okay, I'm going to look at this.
Right. Okay. So it's, but yeah, because that makes sense. Because I'm trying to think like a client here of the things that I would ask. I can tell you're good at this because you didn't miss a beat. You knew exactly what to say. But I do this. I go left. You're like, I know what to do. I go right. You do this. Is there any other openers that you find that are helpful for these conversations? So you talked about the product. Talk about, are you still in your home? Anything else that you think people could use that would be useful?
Well, in our Salesforce too, we have a prospecting dashboard, and there's a list every week that comes in, out with people that have been in their homes for 5 years. So in those cases, what I do is I go in and I check out equity positions before I make calls. And then I just, you know, I'll give them a call and just say, hey, I'm just checking in. You've been in your home for 5 years. Congratulations. Looks like you have like $210,000 worth of equity, you know, and they'll go, gosh, I didn't know that, Paula. Do I really? Like, yeah. And then I'll go back into, are you still in love with your home? You know, like, how are you doing? Has your family grown? You know, and just start into that conversation.
Right. And so that $210,000 equity, that would be like, that's the mortgage minus the current, you know, estimated value. It's not, because you can't, you know, like, at least we can't in Canada, we can't refinance to like 95% or we used to, but now it's like, we're limited to how high can you guys go on loan to value on, or is there a limit?
Like a cash out, loans.
Like
basically 80%.
Unless you get into like some more expensive financing stuff, right? Same with
us. If you do an all day or something like that.
Yeah, which is, again, you'd have to really, it really needs to make sense for you to do it. Like there's situations where it can make sense, but yeah, okay.
Well, and I'm hoping like you're thinking like if someone's been in their house 5 years, something has changed with their, a lot of, you know, first time home buyers, has their family grown? Has something
they got another
changed?
Kid or two, and they're tripping on them, and they're like, I need more space, or, you know.
I talked to a client, and he said, Paula, I hate giving up my rate. I just don't want to do it. But my wife, she's going to kill me because we have three kids now, and we have so outgrown this that I have to do it.
Right. Yeah. But that's awesome. Okay. Any other questions that I didn't ask you think I should have?
I think you hit a lot of them.
Okay. Well, where can people find it? So if somebody's listening to this and like, hey, Guild sounds pretty cool, I like Paula, how can they reach out to you?
They can reach out to me. I sent you several links.
We'll put those in the show notes so people can click on it and you can find you there. But yeah, do you have like a social account or anything?
I do. I sent you my Facebook page. I've got an Instagram page and a LinkedIn page.
Okay. So if you're listening and you want to connect with Paula, feel free to do that. And this has been a great conversation. I can tell why you're a good coach. You know, you were coaching. I was trying to be like the coaching student asking the dumb questions. So
it's for never our dumb audience. Question.
But, right. Thank you, Paula, for coming to chat with me.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Hey, thanks for listening to this conversation that I have with Paula, and a couple things. One, if you found it useful, shoot her a note, like send her a message, say, hey, Paula, I loved your episode. I'm sure she would really appreciate that. And second thing is, if you're listening to this and you're not already following me on social, I've started to really up my Instagram and TikTok, and I share tactics that don't fit on these shows. Sometimes it's stuff I've learned from them. Sometimes it's something I've learned from our coaching. And so if you haven't been following me, do that. You can follow me and you can follow along some of the stuff that we put out. It's always short. It's very useful. And man, I love these conversations. I love the learning that I get to do. And hopefully you guys listening are like, hey, I got some ideas from this one. I'm going to write down and I'm going to apply it. As I always tell you, there's no problem in your business that someone else hasn't already solved. The challenge or your problem is just like, who's got the answer to my test? We're hoping that with this podcast that you'll find more answers. And thanks for listening and have an outstanding day.